Thank you. So, being the last speaker and the oldest one, just heard. I just want to take the advantage to thank the organizers of the meeting. One of them just left, which is Patrick, Deidre, and Brad, I guess. So, please, I think really very nice meeting, and I'd like to think that the fact that I'm oldest is because they chose such a nice, very, very young group of speakers to speak here. Okay, what I'll talk about is joint work with Sergei Starchenko, whose name we just heard. I met him in the last century, the end of the last century, right after this work with Matt, and since then we worked quite a lot together, as you know, and it could be seen maybe, as an exercise in all minimality, trying to understand complex analysis from the point of view of all minimality. It started with a very concrete model theoretic problem when we started working on it, and then somehow we got more and more attracted, and maybe we're close again to be able to say something, something model theoretically, something new model theoretically about the complex analytic manifolds. I'm not sure I'll talk about it today, but I have a feeling that we're getting close maybe to something, to some connection eventually being made there. But, okay. So some of it might look, if you know this paper, expansion of algebraically closed field number 2, it looks very similar to what we've done there, but we're going back to this paper and really trying to do it not in the lazy way, the way it was done there, but trying to look at it again and say some new things. So it might seem similar, but I'll try to point out the differences from the point of view that was taken in that paper to what I'll talk about now. So the setting that we are in is, let's say R is an arbitrary or minimal expansion of an real closed field, and those of you who've seen that, the point of view here is that we look at the algebraic closure, which we always denote by K, and we just identify it basically with R squared, the way it's done over the reals, and whenever I'll say, well, every function, every set I'll talk about will be definable in this structure. So I might forget to say that, but whenever I say, if we take an open subset of K and we look at a map from U into K, you can think of it from the point of view of model theory as really a map from a subset of R square into R square, just like we're doing, so it has the imaginary part and the real part, just like we're doing complex analysis. Okay, so let me just put the basic definition is just a definition from complex analysis. So we say that such a map F is, I'll call it K holomorphic at a point V0 in U. Well, just the usual definition is the limit of F of Z is different as H approaches 0 in K, existing K. So over C, this is just the standard analyticity property. And for multivariable functions, or for a function of several variables, so if U is a subset of Cn or Kn, we will say that F is K holomorphic on U. Well, one can choose probably several definitions, but it turns out that the one that works is if F is K holomorphic at each variable separately, so it's just K holomorphic in the sense of one variable, at each variable separately, so you fix n minus 1, and you move the other one, the last one, and even though I might think that you don't need it because classically you don't need it, but let's just add f is continuous on u. So classically there are all kinds of theorems that say that under this assumption, this is the same as saying that it has a convergent power series, but of course we don't have convergent power series because we might, R might be a very non-Archimedean real closed field, so we don't have, the technique of convergent power series does not exist. But still, I will not go into that, but as it turns out, you can do a lot of complex analysis in this context, prove all the basic, really, theories of complex analysis, even in several variables. Maybe with one thing in particular, which is maybe more surprising, is that the fact that if you look at the ring of germs, let's say at zero, of all K holomorphic functions, so all definable K holomorphic functions, they really, even though you don't have convergence, you have an injection into the form of power series. And moreover, this is a Noetherian ring, you have bias class separation theorem there, etc., etc. Okay, I see that this shoe is going to cause me trouble. Okay, and maybe one of the main things we get here, which is where O-minimality is really of help, is that we have very strong, I won't give the details, but we have very strong removal of singularities theorem. Removal of singularities. Different types of theorems like that. And the examples of such holomorphic functions, well, first of all, they all come from the classical setting, so in the structure called Rn, we have every germ. Every germ of a classically holomorphic function is definable here, and K holomorphic in our sense, and if you want C holomorphic. Why? Because the real part and the imaginary part of the functions will be real analytic functions, and the germ, I mean that you can find some box around zero where this germ will have really a definable function living in Rn, just using the real part and imaginary part. And then, of course, immediately, if you take an elementary extension of Rn and you just plug in, let's say, a parameter, an infinitesimal parameter in a function of two variables, you get upstairs a non-standard. So just by plugging parameters, you get non-standard holomorphic functions, K holomorphic functions. And it's really this part, for me, which justifies maybe this work, because it somehow says, what he said here, he says that the whole local theory of complex analysis lives inside the O-minimal context. So whatever we'll say now in the general O-minimal setting eventually comes back and reflects on just a very basic local theory, I should say local theory of complex analysis. Because the whole of complex analysis locally lives inside this O-minimal structure. Now, we do get some more than just local, we get some global functions in O-minimal structures which don't live here. So in R and X, for example, you can get every branch of natural log function, sometimes written like this, it's a multi-value function, let's say on C minus the positive reals, is definable. Basically because it only needs a strip of complex exponentiation, and using the restricted sine function and the full real exponential function, we can get this trip. So we actually have some new global functions which don't exist in Rn. But of course, we don't have the full exponential function because you immediately define a discrete set of the imaginary axis. So you cannot have the full exponential function in there. But one of the things which already appeared in this paper is that you don't get a new, really fully global function. So if you have in any omeoma structure f from kn or from cn to c, which is k-holomorphic, it must be polynomial. And actually, if you remove a set, if you say that it's k-holomorphic outside a set whose real dimension is, what is it, 2n minus 2, so the dimension, the real dimension of kn is 2n, then you get that it has to be a rational mesh. So you don't have really new global analytic function. Okay. So what I want to do now is go back to some of the notions which appeared in this paper and really redefine them in a way which seems now to us more appropriate and I think better definition. So the notion I want to talk about is first the K-manifold, which also is not surprising. The one feature which distinguishes it from general manifold is that it will demand the chart, of course, to be definable, but to be finite atlas. So let me just embed it first in some power of Rn. You don't have, actually, you will be able to get it back just from the abstract definition of a manifold, but let me assume that it's already embedded in Rn. There's no connection between this n which will come in the complex dimension. So a definable M in Rn is a K-manifold of dimension D. Well, it's what you expect. If you can cover it by finitely many, to L, UI open and of course definable. And two, each UI, for each UI you have a definable homeomorphism inside and into an open set in KD, such that the transition map, when they make sense, so what will it be? Ci, Jc, will it work? Yeah, Cij, Ci, Cj inverse from Cj of Ui intersection Uj into Ci of Ui intersection Uj is K-homomorphic. Okay, so originally we had something much more awkward, that we wanted a uniform family of sets and uniform data. We don't need that, I think. This is good enough definition. Notice that this is immediately a definition which goes up to elementary extension. So this is a K-manifold in one structure, because all the data is finite and definable and the notion of holomorphic is definable, it will remain a K-manifold in elementary extension. And we will say that a set A inside such a manifold is K-analytic. If, well, first of all, let's say A is closed in M, so of course definable. And second, that for all A in A, there is a neighborhood, a definable open neighborhood U containing A, and finitely many functions F1, or let me just think of it as one map from U inside into some K to the L, K-holomorphic, so I mean all the coordinates are K-holomorphic, such that A is of course just the zero set inside this U. So it's just a closed, a definable closed set, which locally can be realized as a zero set of a K-holomorphic function. And immediately notice that the difference is that by the definition, we don't know that this goes up to elementary extension. So this is one thing that we try to force in the old paper, is to make all this data to be uniformly given. It turns out that we don't need that. So it's just a local information at every point. The existence of this function is not something that you can quantify over. So the question immediately, does A remain analytic in elementary extension? Remain K-analytic in elementary extension. No, no, of R. Of R, always working in the ambience, it has no meaning in K, elementary extensions of K. My structure is always the full nominal structure. No, no, no. I always work, because otherwise it makes no meaning even. The notion of K holomorphic depends on the ambient space of the real. Yeah. Well, it could be a definable set. Yeah, yeah, everything is definable. I'm sorry. This is a definable set, closed set, with some properties downstairs, but somehow the points at infinity or are not, cannot be realized. By, I mean, of course, if it can be realized, immediately you get that this is, by compactness, that this was uniformly definable somehow. That you had uniformly, as you move along the A, you were able to get all the data, the functions which realize A. Okay, so what are the examples here? Well, one very simple example is take any definable open is in immediately a K-manifold. Is K-manifold. Like it should be. And for example, if you take U to be the unit disk, let's say, the open unit disk inside K, and you take the graph of the map Z goes to 1/2 Z, then because it's an analytic map, then GF inside U cross U is K-analytic set. You can see that this causes problems because the image of this set is very bad. It's a small disk with a very big boundary inside your D. So you immediately, if you're trying to do any sort of quantifier elimination, this will give you problems like it should be, because you get a boundary of dimension 1 inside the image of the set. So the projection on the second coordinate does not look very nice. Okay, second example, well, the list of examples, is just take V in Kn to be any V non-singular K-algebraic variety. So K-algebraic variety will have, since it has a tangent space at every point, it shouldn't be hard to show that, well, it is almost immediately, well, I guess any, you don't need non-singular, right? Yeah, any K-algebraic variety will clearly be an analytic set. This will be an analytic set, K-analytic set. And if you want to take non-singular, you can actually make it to a K-manifold. Yeah, I guess this is the point. If it's non-singular, then you can treat it separately V becomes a K manifold. And you can do the same thing in the projective space, just like it's done usually. And the third collection of examples, which is probably why we were interested, and we keep working on that, is what Rahim spoke about, is the context of compact complex manifolds. So I will not talk about the complex analytic spaces at this point. I will just restrict myself to manifolds and to analytic subsets. Yeah. It's not embedded in KN, but you just cover it by charts, the way it's working over the complex. No, but remember, it's just embedded in RN. This is what I... Projective space is a manifold, it's a real manifold, so it's embedded in RN. It's just a way to induce them the topology, to find... I can't work in two abstract settings, but it's true in omnibus structure that any real manifold which you can define, you can actually embed into a large enough power of N. So I might as well just assume it from the beginning. I don't think it's necessary since we have finitely many charts, but as we can always do that. So we have to be careful. The embedding has nothing to do with the complex structure, just the topology, not the holomorphic structure. And three, you just take a compact complex manifold. So M, a compact complex manifold with complex analytic subsets. And all of this can be in RN, just fix the setting, because it's a compact manifold, you can cover it by finitely many sets, and all the data is really analytic on a closed neighborhood, even on the closure of the open set. So the manifold will be K-analytic or C-analytic in this sense, and the analytic sets will be, the analytic sets will be C-analytic, the manifold will be a C-manifold. So the whole situation can be formulated in the O-minimal language. And an example that we'll come back to is if we have MA, a definable family, of course, of K-manifolds or C-complex manifolds. Now, with this, I will mean that you have a bound on the number of charts that you need, and that really the UIs are given uniformly. So they are given not just a definable family, which means together with the atlas. All of this is given uniformly. And now you go to, this is of C-manifold, let's say, an analytic manifold. And now you go to elementary extension. Now take A in some elementary extension of wherever this was defined, let's say in RN, and we get, of course, a non-standard example of a complex manifold, because all this information in first order, this information will go through, and we get upstairs a non-standard MA will be a non-standard K-manifold. Okay, another example, I have no point in writing it down. If you take this ln z function, just take the graph of this analytic function on its domain. Of course, it's a K-analytic set on the manifold, which is just the open set where it was defined, on the product, I guess, of this with C. Okay, and... Okay. So especially because of this part, the first hope was, when we started thinking about it, is the following, kind of, as we'll see, erroneous line of thought, is that in compact complex manifold, let me call this the compact complex manifold setting CCM, I think they sometimes call it like that, They know what complex analysis means in the classical over C, but once they go to elementary extension, they don't have any more notion of complex analysis. All they can do is transfer information from the bottom structure upstairs. Unlike the situation with algebraically closed field, when you go to elementary extension, you still have an algebraically closed field, the same structure you had downstairs. Here, when you go upstairs, you don't have complex analysis anymore. All you can do is try to trace what happened downstairs and go upstairs. And the thought that we have here, well, we have here a setting when you can do complex analysis, both downstairs and upstairs, and maybe we can just do complex analysis upstairs, which means in the elementary extension, and get information on the compact complex manifold, just like we got it downstairs, not by exactly transferring, but by doing complex analysis in elementary extension. And so let me try to tell you what the problems are here. We cannot do it so far. So the next thing to do is to have like this notion, just like they do here, of a k-analytic structure, which means we'll take M to be a k-manifold. And let me write it like this, some script A, to be all k-analytic subsets of M to the N. Okay? And so this makes sense. So this is a structure. You can make it into a multi-sorted structure, but let me just concentrate first, like they were in the initial stages, on one manifold like that. And of course, by, I think it's Wilber theorem, we know that if M is just a standard compact over C, then this structure is very well behaved. It has quantifier elimination. It has a Zariski structure, more or less. It's not strongly minimal, but it has a Zariski set, and it has a very nice behavior. So the first theorem we can now do, and again, in that paper, we transferred information. Now we don't need to transfer, is the following. If M is definably compact, which means from the point of view of this embedding, this is enough to see that A is embedded. Well, it's not here anymore. But in this embedding of A, of M in Rn, you can think of it just as M being closed and bounded, embedded as a closed and bounded set inside the real closed field. So if M is definably compact with topology, then all of this is true in this context. So then MA has QE. I didn't look even at all the on all the details. I should say that this is work in progress, but so we have to look at all the details, but everything goes through except maybe, I don't know, elimination of imaginaries. I didn't think of that. But it has QE. It has DCC on closed sets. It has the dimension theorem. So it is, I guess, the risky type structure or the risky structure. Yeah. Now it's totally, now we work in any or minimal structure, defining compact over any, or in R. Okay? So in particular, this non-standard K-manifold, if it is definably compact and you put it on the, all the K-analytic structure in this upstairs structure, then we know that everything works through, goes through. I should say the main difficulty here was the Remert proper mapping theorem, which even to transfer was difficult. And it turned out that we have a very strong version of Remert mapping theorem in the O-minimal setting, which I think should reflect back and just give you another proof, or not only much simpler, but on the classical Remert proper mapping theorem, because it's all about compact data, the Remert proper mapping theorem. But I'll go back to that, I hope. At the end. So here is again what the line of thought might be. The following. Let's say that M, so the question is the following. Take M to be a standard compact complex manifold over C. go to, so now view M inside, let's say, some elementary extension of Rn. And one question which might come to mind, and now look at all the k-analytic, consider all the k-analytic, all, or consider, yeah, k-analytic subsets of M. First thing you might hope, the best thing, maybe they are all definable in CCM already. So I guess you have to view CCM also as sitting inside R star. Are they definable in CCM? If we knew that, then we could really do complex analysis upstairs and get all the information we need, and maybe it will help solve issues in CCM. The answer is no. It turns out to be you might get in elementary extension new analytic sets which are not definable in CCM, even though you work in elementary extension. And a similar question is, do all manifolds, K-manifolds, which arise in this way in elementary extensions, can be realized as a structure, as a manifold in CCM? Are they, with the all-induced structure, definable in CCM? And even there, the answer is no. We do get some new manifolds, which don't exist, it seems, in CCM. Is every manifold that you get here, yeah, can be realized, together with its induced structure, as a definable set inside CCM, with its induced structure. Sorry? Yeah, actually, in general, we always get here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, this was left open, but yeah, we always get. Yes? Even though, even this, you should be careful. Well, yeah, I guess, yeah, in the compact, because you can just immediately downstairs find finitely many sets covering it, and this will go upstairs, right? Yeah. So. In the compact, immediately you get an answer, yes, you're right, because you can always realize this, this Q by finitely many U's, by compact. But it turns out that the answer is always yes. Okay, so what I want to do is really go, I guess, quickly now, over three examples which discuss this interaction. And the first example, I guess the best, you want a good example, is a situation where we have no new sets, no new k-analytic sets. And this is if we look at M to be just Cn, or if you want the projective space of N, and we go to elementary extension, and we ask ourselves, can we somehow induce an elementary extension? Can we get any new analytic set? And we have here, actually, in every O-minimum structure with no elementary extension, no transfer or anything, we have basically Chow's theorem, actually a strong version of Chow's theorem, that in any O-minimum structure, so this is similar to the situation with polynomials, every k-analytic subset, now it will be not C, but of kn, is algebraic. And of course, because the PNC itself and all the analytic sets are definable in Rn, in particular, this is Chow's theorem. But it's actually stronger because, of course, well, it's not stronger. But in Cn, of course, you do have other analytic sets. But as long as the analytic set is definable in the O-minimum structure, it will have to be algebraic. So, okay, so the remark, so this is a sort, Kn, which does not get any new sets when you go to elementary extension. It was algebraic set, it's a main algebraic set. And in a sense, this is not, you know, the fact that you get O-minimality to imply Chow's theorem or to imply a theorem like this is not surprising in the classical case, because there are several theorems. You open a book of Rashevitz, there's a whole section on criterions when an analytic subset of CN being algebraic, and most of the criterion involve the boundary of this set at infinity inside the projective space. And because of all minimality, this is the main feature here that keeps helping again and again, because in all minimality you have the boundary behaves very well. You have the boundary has small dimension. You can probably just, at least in the classical case, get a proof like this of Chow's theorem very fast. Just take one of this theorem and notice that the boundary at infinity must be small, so it avoids enough what we call hyperplanes at infinity, and it has to be algebraic. But again, our proof does not depend on the complex numbers. It's just true. Okay, now example number two, which is really that, so this is really something that Tom Scanlon pointed out to us. I mean, I didn't know before that, or even actually after that, what are hop surfaces, but we'll see. I'll give the definition. So this is example number two, and here the situation that we have a new k-analytic set. On a standard manifold. So this is the hop surface, which was mentioned by Rahim. And what we do, so again, this is really a suggestion of Scanlon. And the hop surface looks like this. You take C2, you remove 0, 0. You take, I guess you can take even just the same number, but let's do it this way. You take two real numbers between 0 and 1, and you mod out by the action ZW goes to AZ BW. Right? Yeah, the group generated by that. And if you want to a little bit get a hold of what it means is you can really find a fundamental set which on which you have only one representative for this action. And I cannot draw it, of course, in C2, but in the picture of the absolute values, if you take the absolute value of Z and the absolute value of W, what you have here is a ring. You have the ellipse. I guess the ellipse is A squared plus B squared equal 1 inside the unit disk. And the collection of all Z and W whose absolute value live here, well, I guess you have to remove the boundary on the top and leave it here. So there is some identification between the outside ring and the inside ring, but this is a fundamental set for this action, for this equivalence relation. So you can think of the universe living here, inside this ring in the absolute value world. And again, if I'm not mistaken, so this is a, of course, as a surface, as a complex surface, it has dimension 2, because it's just C2 modulo a discrete equivalence relation. And as a structure induced, with all the induced structure, it has a Mohli rank 1, but I think Mohli degree 3. Is this right? At this point. And then you remove two curves from it, and it becomes strongly minimal. But I won't bother you with that. If you remove the curve C star cross 0 and star cross and 0 cross C star, I think it becomes strongly minimal, and actually it becomes a trivial structure. And one of the theorems, I think it's of Scanlon and Pile, says that there are no, well, I'll say it like this, every definable automorphism of H is zero, well, is algebraic over the empty set, at least. Over the empty set. So in particular, in CCM, when you go upstairs, you don't get any new automorphism, any new definable automorphism. Whatever was definable, you don't get any family in the complex situation, any definable families of automorphism of H just over C. So as you go, when you go upstairs, you shouldn't get any new automorphism of H. However, automorphisms here let me see. Yeah. You can get very simply automorphisms of this structure. If you take any alpha, a real number, and you look at the map, ZW goes to alpha Z, alpha W, this induces automorphism on this structure. Now, of course, in Rn, this is very simple. This is all definable in Rn. Now, there is an issue here that you cannot uniformly do it on all of the reals in Rn because of this, the way you have to act on this ring. But as long as you restrict yourself to a bounded interval in R, so the family of all, let's call this F alpha, F alpha, alpha, let's say, in the interval 1, 2, is definable in Rn as a family. Now we have an infinite family of automorphisms definable of H, definable in Rn. Now if we go upstairs to elementary extension, so if you take now R star, elementary extension of Rn, and we take alpha to be some new number between 1 and 2, non-standard, then we get F alpha is an automorphism from H to H. The fact that it's k-analytic, well, it was true downstairs, it will be upstairs. So the graph of GF alpha is a new analytic subset. So GF alpha inside H cross H is a new k-analytic set. So we take the same sort, the same manifold. It's not a non-standard manifold. The manifold is standard. We just go upstairs, and in it we can find an analytic set which did not exist in the bottom structure. So it does not exist. So this set is not definable in CCM because it's a new. Yeah. Well, where? Yeah, yeah. There is a theorem that says that, you can say downstairs there are no infinite definable family in CCM downstairs of H. Right, right. Because otherwise you have constant for everyone. So this is a theorem about the theory of H, not about just the structure downstairs. Okay, so actually this is in some sense, well, it's interesting, but in some sense it's somewhat discouraging because it says that you cannot just do complex analysis upstairs, and once you have a map which is analytic, say, okay, if it's analytic, it's definable in CCM, and here we got you new information about CCM because maybe new sets, even in elementary extension, can arise that do not come from CCM. Okay, and the third example. Is something that actually Sergei and I were working on for a while, and we wrote something which does not contain that, and this is about non-standard one-dimensional torus. So, example three, when you get it seems, well, I realized at the end that maybe Rahim will know more, that maybe I don't know enough to actually pin down the fact that it's a new analytic manifold, but I would assume that you have enough information now about, well, we'll say, about groups and everything in CCM to know that it's not something that lives in CCM. So a new k-analytic manifold now . So this is one of the standard. This is one of the members of a non-standard. One of the members of the family of definable family. And here, again, I'm not sure if we need that. We need it for one of the things. I'm not sure if we need it for this particular statement that I want to make. But let's just assume that we work in Rn. I think all minimum extension of Rn will be enough. And this will be a quick reminder. I won't go through that, but for those of you who know this, so if we take tau in C, such that in the upper half plane, so sometimes this is called H, and we know to each such tau we can associate a one-dimensional torus, which is just C plus modded out by the lattice Z plus tau Z. And this is a set which each fundamental parallelogram or fundamental set is, of course, you have one here, you have tau here, so it lives here. And this is sometimes called elliptic curves, but we have to be careful because over the in the classical situation, all of these things are the same, so let me just call E tau like this a one-dimensional torus. And it's easy to see that it inherits a complex analytic definable structure from C. Actually, I think four charts or two charts would be enough here. And you can do it all uniformly in tau. So we have really a family of E tau, tau in, well, it's not the same H, so I should be careful. Tau in the upper half plane, so let me just say in tau greater than zero of C analytic manifolds. So once we have, and all the data is given, it's really a definable family, so all the data, as I said, is given uniformly. And then we can go upstairs to elementary extensions and ask ourselves how much of what is true in the original structure is true up. And the first thing one sees is, of course, one of the basic theorems of just, you see it on page 5 or 10 of any book on elliptic curve, is that over C, every E tau is isomorphic to an algebraic curve, just a cubic. Smooth cubic in P2, I guess. See, this is the Weierstrass map. It sends everything but the Weierstrass map with a parameter tau. And okay, in this work I did with Sergey, we show that actually in R and X, as long as you work in R and X, you can do it uniformly, but not for all tau in H. It's very easy to see that you cannot do it for all tau in H uniformly in all minimal structure because you have the orbit of SL2Z hidden in there. But we show that at least on, I'm drawing pictures that some of you might know of what's called the fundamental strip. We can do it uniformly. We can get this embedding uniformly in R and X, but this I'm not interested in right now. What comes out, actually, which is much simpler than this statement I'm just saying, is that if you go now to elementary extensions, actually, by the way, all of this can be done just in what? In the real closed field. You don't need even Rn for that. The uniform family, the charts, everything, the transition maps are just here. And if you go to elementary extension, let's say of Rnx, and now, the idea is to take tau either very far to the right, but actually we don't need even to do that, just to take tau very close to some irrational number here. So take tau to be in the upper half plane and to be very close to some r, which is in r minus q. All you want is to avoid the orbit of SL2Z, to avoid the image of this fundamental strip under SL2Z. And it turns out that if you get very close to R, to an R like this, actually probably even you can approach a rational number, you just have to make sure that you avoid one of these cusps. So if you approach a rational number from a wrong direction, it should also work. That E tau, now we have a torus which corresponds to that, and E tau is not definably biholomorphic, K biholomorphic, and you can understand what it means, just K holomorphic and the inverse K holomorphic to any algebraic curve. curve over K. Sorry? I have to think, probably. One should mean the other, but I can't say that. But I would think it's all compact, so if it should be probably, it should be the same, I'm sure. Okay, and the theorem here that we didn't know, but so this is really how this last project began, that we left the question open. It seemed like it should be locally modular in this case, and indeed it is. And we don't have, again, now that we have enough theory, I think we don't need to transfer that much. Most of it can be done just in any, probably, or minimal expansion even of R and X, without knowing that it's elementary equivalent to a structure over the real. So the theorem here is that E tau, equipped with all its K analytic set, is locally modular, notice one-dimensional in the sense of dimensional, strongly minimal group. The Zariski structure, whatever you want. And actually, I would think that more than that, it must be true, because this cannot be one of what's called the complex multiplication elliptic curve. Then this really, I think that all the definable sets here should just be basically the most trivial subgroups you can have. So things which come from Z goes to NZ inside product, or it should be a very simple, there shouldn't be anything here which is not what you'd get just from the groups. And they're all defined. So what I'm saying is they're all definable in the group language, probably. But I'm not claiming this. Now this should mean, so this is the part that I thought was should be obvious, but I think it should mean that as a Zariski structure or as a structure, it's not isomorphic to a structure in CCM, to a sort in CCM. And basically, well, the idea that because of the result of Rahim's that said that every curve in elementary extensions in the sense of CCM is really an algebraic curve in this category. The only thing is that this one-dimensionality is an outside notion. So a priori, you might think maybe there is really a group of higher dimension in CCM which is somehow isomorphic to that. But I find it hard to imagine, because we know here the number of torsion points. We have a very... We know the group as a group very well. So I'm not really sure, but there must be now by now enough information about groups in elementary extensions of CCM to say that this is not an object in CCM. Do they know it upstairs? I thought that some of this information they know in the standard model, but I wasn't sure. Do they know it by now in elementary extensions? Okay. No, so what is the statement? Say it again. Group? Yeah. So if they know that, then of course it cannot, just by the number of torsion points, it cannot be one of those, because either it will have to be an elliptic curve. Yeah, so it won't, if this is the case, then indeed, I think that it shouldn't be. There is enough knowledge by now to know that this is really a new, even a group. This is a new or minimal, a new analytic Zariski structure that doesn't come from CCM. Yeah. Yeah, in the theory of CCM, but not definable somewhere. CCM, I mean, in elementary extensions as well. Yeah. Okay, let me just finish with the bad example that I talked about and say something about the actual theorems that appear on the way. So if you remember, I talked about U being the open unit disk, and the map Z goes to 1/2 Z, which whose graph is definable because it's just a subset of the graph of this is a subset of D cross Z, but its image is a bed set. So of course you cannot hope to get quantified elimination for this structure just with analytic set. So this will not have quantified elimination. You immediately get something like the reals. The boundary of this set should give you problems, and probably you can define the reals in here using this method of Dave. So, but the reason it seems why the image of this map is not analytic, just the trivial reason seems to be that, well, it's not closed even. So how can it be analytic? And it turns out that this is the only restriction in the O-minimal setting for being analytic. So this is a version of Reimer proper mapping theorem, which is true in the O-minimal setting. So it's true of classically as well. So if we have M, a K-manifold, if you want a complex manifold, but definable in O-minimal structure, and A in M, K-analytic, so this is K-analytic, this is K-manifold, and you have a definable K-holomorphic map from M to N, which is another K-analytic, a K-manifold. Okay, so you can think of it just classically. You have two manifolds that somehow are definable in O-minimal structure, you have an analytic set definable in O-minimal structure, and you have a map between them, which is K-holomorphic, then all that you need to know is that FA is closed just in the Euclidean topology to conclude that FA is actually analytic or K-analytic in elementary extension. So this is stronger than the Remet proper mapping theorem. Of course, by the Remet map proper theorem, you will get the map will be closed, but here we just have to assume that the image is closed to get that the image is an analytic set. And this is false in for analytic manifolds in general, but the only example we could come up with were examples where A had infinitely many irreducible components, and I think there should be example with one irreducible analytic set whose image is closed and yet not analytic, which is not O-minimal. But we just asked several people, and so far we didn't get a counterexample for that when the case is when A is irreducible. And the last thing is that, well, two things. What I left open, the issue of whether an analytic set remains analytic in elementary extensions. So the answer is yes. And actually, there are two reasons why the answer is yes. So I think that this somehow says to me what I'm going to write now, put on the board, that there is somehow very close connection between O-minimal analytic set, analytic manifold, and compact manifold. It looks almost like compact. You have a lot of finiteness theorem that it lies somewhere between. Maybe you can show that it can always be compactified in some simple way, or let me just put the theorem. So theorem one here, if A in M, everything is K-manifold, K-analytic, no, sorry, this is M a K-manifold, and A a closed set, definable, of course, closed set, then here's the criterion for analyticity. A is K-analytic subset. So M might be just an open set, but when we mean closed, I mean closed inside M. If and only if, well, I guess you need two things. One is that the regular point, so the point where A is a K-submanifold, is dense in A. And the second thing is that the singular points have really smaller dimension in every neighborhood. So for every definable open U, the singular point of A intersection U, there I'm emphasizing this is not the dimension in an analytic sense, but in the O-minimal sense, should be less than or equal to the dimension of A intersection U minus 2. So in the analytic sense, this means dimension 1 less. Okay? And this is the first order property. because regular, being regular at a point is something you can define in no minimal structure. You just say, well, it's not hard to see that it's definable. Dimension is definable. Singular is just the complement of regular. So this immediately implies that K analytic sets remain, I'm sorry, I'll go 2 points over, okay? That K analytic sets remain K analytic in elementary extension because this is first order. But actually we get more than that. All that you'll get from that is that you have a uniform family by compactness, that you have a uniform family of open sets and functions which realize this analytic set, but you actually get more than you get finitely many. Actually, we get there are finitely many always. This is where you don't have compactness, but you somehow have compactness. Finitely many U1 up to UL covering A, of course, definable. And on each one of them, you have Fi from UI into some K to the DI such that A intersection UI is just the zero set section UI. So here's even a better reason why analyticity goes upstairs. Not only that you have uniform, you just have finitely many open sets and functions which realize the fact that it's canonical. And well, it's all more or less the whole, all of the arguments had to do with how nice the topology, how tame the topology of analytic sets, of definable sets in nominal structure. So I would say that I think we're getting very close to know enough about how nice it is to be able to say some, maybe, I don't know if new things, but at least new proof, let's say, of Campana-Fujiki, or at least parts of Campana-Fujiki, which we use in model theory, maybe we can get an O-minimal proof of this part in the classical situation. Okay.